coming Wednesday, April 14th, and Thursday, April 15th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 14th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 15th. Issues Etc. 24, Wednesday, April 14th, and Thursday, April 15th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
At the very least, I know that learning on the bench has been one of the most important and rewarding aspects of my own experience over the last 35 years.
That's Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens speaking at Fordham University Law School about learning and shifting his positions in his long time as a judge. Joining us to talk about his announced retirement, Dr. Robert George, Professor of Jurisprudence and Director of the James Madison Program at Princeton University. Dr. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. It's a pleasure to be back on the show.
Well, I guess the big question mark now that we know that Associate Justice Stevens will be stepping down is who will replace him. Based upon President Obama's previous pick of Sonia Sotomayor, what do you expect the president to do to fill that vacancy?
I expect that the president will appoint someone who will take Justice Stevens' role as an anchor of the left wing of the court. Justice Stevens was the court's most liberal member. His retirement will, I think, be the occasion of some concern on the left about getting someone as liberal as Justice Stevens. But I think that they can probably count on President Obama, who himself is a person of strong left-wing views, to find someone, perhaps an academic, perhaps a sitting judge, perhaps the current Solicitor General, who will be as liberal as Justice Stevens was.
How would you evaluate the positions that Justice Stevens has taken in his 34 years on the High Court?
With a small handful of exceptions, and I could probably count them on one hand, Justice Stevens' decisions were on the left. He was not a person who had much regard or respect for the original understanding of the framers and ratifiers of the Constitution. He didn't believe that constitutional interpretation or judicial power should be limited by an understanding of the intent of the framers and ratifiers. He was someone who used his power to advance liberal causes, especially on social questions. He was the member of the court who was most hostile to the concept of a legitimate place for religion in public life or religiously informed morality in public life. He went farther even than his fellow liberals on the court in trying to limit the role of religion in public affairs. And I expect that those who are on the left, those who have a view of the world in line with that of the ACLU, for example, will demand that the president find and appoint somebody who will carry on that role.
Did he enter the High Court before or after the Roe decision?
It was after, but he was a very strong supporter of it against all efforts to overturn the decision, reverse the decision, or even trim back its most extreme edges. He was appointed by Justice Gerald Ford. Roe was handed down in 1973 when President Nixon was still in office. But I don't think it's possible to find someone to Justice Stevens' left, even on the liberal wing of the court when it came to abortion, with the possible exception of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
What is the current makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court in regards to social issues like abortion, same-sex marriage, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research?
It's 4-4 with one swing voter. There are four justices who are originalists or what are sometimes called strict constructionists. They interpret the Constitution as not dictating answers on social issues, leaving the people acting through their representatives free at the state and federal levels to make determinations on questions such as abortion, the definition of marriage, sexual ethics, and so forth. There were four liberal members of the court who freely used their power to try to seek to create policy, liberal policy, on those types of issues. And then there's the swing voter. The swing voter is Justice Anthony Kennedy, and his vote is very, very hard to predict. Right now, people are trying very hard to predict what his vote will be in the same-sex marriage case that is working its way from California to the Supreme Court. It's pretty clear that there are four justices who will vote to say that it's up to the people to decide the definition of marriage. And if California, Californians, as they did in Proposition 8, decide to retain the definition of marriage as the union of husband and wife, that's fine. And if they choose to abandon it, that's fine. But there are also four liberal justices on the court, including Justice Stevens, of course, who are much more likely to say no. Same-sex marriage must be a national policy under the Constitution. Now, it's hard for me to fathom how the Constitution can be interpreted as dictating that result, but they read into their into the Constitution a liberal ideology. And then there's Justice Kennedy, and Justice Kennedy sometimes swings one way and sometimes swings another way. And right now, I couldn't tell you how he's going to vote.
When we come back from this break, more with Dr. Robert George. Sounds like not much is going to change, even with the replacement of John Paul Stevens. We'll get his thoughts on that after this.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What are Catholic universities teaching?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Ann Hendershot, a Catholic author, recently published an article in World Magazine examining the voting record of national leaders who graduated from Catholic universities. In 2009, 30 graduates in the U.S. House of Representatives voted for pro-abortion legislation, while only 18 voted pro-life. The record in the Senate was even worse, with only 2 of 12 graduates of Catholic universities voting pro-life. While Catholics pioneered the pro-life movement and guided at the grassroots level, this reveals a disturbing discrepancy between what the Catholic Church believes and what Catholic universities teach.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
I am sitting before you as a fellow sinner who deserves absolutely nothing from God except his wrath. But the good news I have for you today is that God doesn't want to give us what we deserve. Instead, he has given us Jesus.
A missing link. You know what a missing link is, don't you? I don't either. I mean, a missing link, we don't know what it is because it's missing.
He walks around a little bit more and he finds a bag of rubies. So what does he do with the rubies? Well, he throws them away, doesn't he? Because he already has diamonds. Well, no, of course not.
The master dies instead of the servant. The physician dies for the good of the patient. The creator dies for his creation. God himself wins man's salvation.
In just about 5 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Just a taste of the four soundbites we have ready for you. All you need to do is listen and vote. And you vote by giving us a call. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, emailing us talkback at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. The best vote will receive an LPR bundle package, an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, an Issues Etc. pen, and a bumper sticker as well. Dr. Robert George is our guest, professor of jurisprudence and director of the James Madison Program at Princeton University. Former member of the President's Council on Bioethics and author of several books, including In Defense of Natural Law, Embryo, A Defense of Human Life. Dr. George, it sounds like what you said before, not much is much going to change, even if President Obama replaces Stevens with someone exactly like him.
No, I don't expect that this will change anything at all. It will continue to be 4-4. What the president will do is replace a very liberal justice with another very liberal justice. The really decisive moment will come when an opening is created by a conservative leaving the court. The oldest conservative is Justice Scalia, who is in his early 70s, or when Justice Kennedy, the remaining swing voter after Sandra Day O'Connor's retirement a couple of years ago, leaves the court. So 4-4-1 for the foreseeable future.
He is being described as the leader of the court's left. Now, with 34 years on the high court, it's going to be impossible to replace him with that kind of seniority and that ability to lead. So how do you expect, if at all, the complexion of the court to change, if not in terms of the vote count, at least in terms of the sway that the left or the direction that the left on the court might actually have?
Well, I'll tell you what the one open question is. I think the question that we won't know the answer to until we hear the president make his announcement. And that's the question, whether the president will use this opportunity not only to replace Justice Stevens with another hardcore liberal, but to use it politically to try to gain points by appointing another first. Justice Sotomayor was the first Hispanic justice to sit on the court. The question is, will President Obama use this as the first opportunity to appoint, say, an Asian to the court? Trying to curry favor with Asian voters. There are pressures from those in the homosexual activist community to appoint the first openly homosexual, or they would say gay, member of the court. We don't know. One possibility, one very strong possibility, is that he won't do that, that he'll give that strategy up in favor of appointing the current Solicitor General, Elena Kagan, who is the former Harvard Law School. Ms. Kagan is a very intelligent and effective lawyer. She was an accomplished legal academic. She fits the profile in terms of politics. She's very liberal. She's also, though, respected by conservatives. She would not, though, represent a first. She wouldn't be the first woman, since we have two women court now, and we had Justice O'Connor before that. Nor would she be the first Jewish member of the court. We've had Jewish members of the court going all the way back to Brandeis. If she is appointed, interestingly, it would mean that there's no one on the court who is a Protestant. It would be six Catholics plus three Jewish members of the court, and that would be a very interesting thing to develop, given American history.
Dr. Robert George is professor of jurisprudence and director of the James Madison Program at Princeton University. He's a former member of the President's Council on Bioethics. He's author of several books, including In Defense of Natural Law, Embryo, A Defense of Human Life, and Clash of Orthodoxies, Law, Religion, and Morality in Crisis. You'll find information on all of these books at our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. George, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.